Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
You need to be an example in love and spirit. Spirit is attitude. You know, a lot of times when you see the word spirit in the Bible, it's something that can be pointing to different things. Sometimes it's talking about angels, whether you're talking about fallen angels or whether you're talking about godly angels. Sometimes it's talking about the immaterial part of you that communicates with God. That's a spirit. And sometimes it's just talking about your attitude. And so what Timothy is supposed to be is an example in his attitude. And we already dealt with this. You have an attitude where you're going to other people and just being arrogant and snotty and that kind of thing, thinking that you're better than people, you're not going to get a good response. And especially if you're a younger guy talking to an older guy, it's not going to go well. And so you have to be an example in spirit too. And I understand that some of your Bibles don't have that in there. I don't care. It has it in my Bible. In faith is the idea of who you're trusting in. And so each one of us, and especially somebody who is a pastor, is supposed to be an example of being a man or a woman of faith, somebody who actually trusts God. Let me give you some examples from this from my life. I'm just going to give you a short version. When I first got married, we were having some financial issues because the economy had tanked and I was in construction. So work was on again, off again. And during the time that it was like that, I had a contractor that I worked for. I'd get jobs every once in a while, side jobs and that kind of thing that would take care of the bills. And during that period of time, I'm praying and I'm going, God, will you provide for me? And so he would. And that's kind of how it worked. It would work. I'd get 2 weeks of work and be able to make all the bills and that kind of thing. And then the next month, we'd start off at the beginning of the month and I'd call the contractor and he'd go, I don't see any work yet. 2 weeks later, we have some. We finish off the month and I'm able to pay my bills, right? This one month, I'm in the middle of doing some things with my church as far as training and stuff, and God tells me, I don't want you looking for work. Because I would go out and look. You know, if I wasn't working, I'd just go look for work. And never found any, but I would go look. And so this one month, God tells me, I don't want you to do that. I want you to just stay home. You're going to do the things, you know, that you're supposed to be doing with the training and stuff like that. I want you to stay home. And he made it clear to me, and with a number of passages in the Bible. And so I'm like, okay, I know how this goes. So I'm not going to have any work for 2 weeks. Then the contractor's going to get some work and we're going to go out and do it, or I'll have a side job. So 2 weeks go by and I'm not worried at all. Man of faith, man of power. 2 weeks go by, I call him up and he goes, there's no work. And I'm like, really? Any coming up? And he's like, Steve, I don't see any. And I'm like, oh, okay, any side jobs? Nope. No, just no side jobs either. So that's week three. We get into week four. It was a 5 week month. And we get into week four and there's still none. Now I think I'm crazy and flipped out and I'm just a bum and stuff. And every time I would go and pray, God would go, do not go looking for work. He gave me curses in the Bible. If you do this, I will chase you down. You know, stuff like that. Out of the book of Isaiah, you're going to flee on horses. I'm going to chase you. You know, that kind of, I still remember the passage. Okay. You know, that kind of thing. And meanwhile, while this is going on with me, my mother-in-law, I'm newly married. My mother-in-law is talking to my wife and my mother-in-law is like, Steve, find any work? Well, no. Is he looking for work? Well, no. Why not? Because God told him not to. And you know how that went over. He's a crazy guy, right? God told him not to. And so, you know, she makes a comment and she's getting mad at Bobby and Bobby's crying and she's like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. You know, you just told me that God told him not to and I don't know what to do and stuff like that. And she goes, well, what does he think's going to happen? Somebody going to call him on the phone and give him a job? And so we get to the last week and it's Sunday night. And I'm about to go to church. I get a call on the phone. It's a guy who's a contractor, and he has a job for me. He just calls me up. And I haven't told anybody about what's going on in my life. This dude just, here's, I heard you're in construction. Have you ever done roofing? No. Would you like to be a roofer? And, you know, it's work. And I just went, sure, you know. And I got a job that night. My wife calls my mother-in-law and she goes, hey, Steve got a job. And my mother-in-law goes, well, did he go out looking for it finally? He goes, no, somebody called him on the phone. So what was cool about that job was that I made more that week. I was doing some piecework. It's just, you make more money, depending on how fast you go. I was doing piecework and I made more money that week than I ever made for him the rest of the time that I worked for him and was able to pay all my bills. Now, this is what happened from that. My mother-in-law was adamantly opposed to the fact that I'm sitting at home waiting on God. And, you know, normally what you do is you just go out looking for work. You know, the Bible says that you don't want to work, you shouldn't eat. And so I was fasting during that time too. And so, you know, I'm at home waiting on the Lord and stuff. And my mother-in-law sees this whole thing and she thinks it's crazy until I get the job. She finds out I pay all my bills. And, you know, Jesus got the blame for all that. He got the glory for all that. And from that point on, when I told my mother-in-law that Jesus told me something, or my father-in-law, because he was in on that too, anytime I told him that, they took it as gospel. Steve said the Lord spoke to him. I think the Lord spoke to him. And there were, you know, numerous other examples of that in my life, in faith. And so faith is not just believing things really hard. Faith is actually trusting God. And so when you're having a problem with another person, what's your go-to? Are you going to the Lord first? Or are you going to all your friends and talking about it and blah, 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 blah? And you know, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Yeah, that's in the Bible. How about this? He's the wonderful counselor. Yeah. And so maybe we should go to him first. And so where's your faith at? Who you're trusting? Are you trusting in men? Are you trusting in women? Are you trusting in your bank account? Are you trusting in your job? What are you trusting in? And you need to be somebody who's trusting in the Lord. And when you trust in the Lord, you know, there are going to be times when God puts you in a position where you've got no choices except for him. And when people in the world see that and see God come through, it blows their doors off. And it's just a really cool witness. So in faith. And then finally in purity. There needs to be a purity about us. And so I'm not a guy that, you know, puts up with, you know, filthy jokes. And I don't do the, oh, I don't want you to tell me a filthy joke around me because I don't think that's very nice. And I don't do that kind of stuff. You know, when somebody tells a filthy joke around me, I just get quiet. And I look at them like this. And then they, you know, they get quiet and they're like, well, didn't like that? I go, no, not really. Got another one? Well, it's kind of on the same lines. Yeah, I don't want to hear that one either. You know, and then maybe I'll tell them a joke that's good. You know, whatever. But you know, it's like there's got to be, you can be pure and you can be pure without being a baby about things, right? And so purity. He goes on and he talks to him about the whole teaching thing. And he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It is really important that people be taught the Word of God. Not only do they need to see it in your life, and that's the first thing that he talks about, they need to be taught it. They need to hear it, too. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In fact, turn over to Romans chapter 10 real quick. Romans chapter 10. This is a good passage. Let's see verse 8. It says, what does it say? The Word is near you in your mouth and your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. It's the idea that it doesn't matter who's walking in the door. God still loves him and goes after him. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Paul in that passage is talking about how unbelievers are reached. and the fact that people are sent, and they're sent to hear the word of the gospel and teach people stuff, and that the word of the gospel is something that comes from the word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, you're not getting the faith that God is looking for unless the word of God is involved. And this is how that worked out practically in my life. Before I was a Christian, I didn't know this until after I became a Christian, but before I was a Christian, I considered the Bible to be a 2,000-year-old book that had not much relevance in my life. I know pastors who believe that right now because they never teach from it. I just went to a church, actually my old church, and there was a guy who was a guest speaker. I was so ticked off. I can't remember if I told this story or not. I got there and everything was okay. At first, the guy got introduced, and then he goes from one story after another story after another story after another story. None of them had anything to do with the Bible, and actually the teaching that he was given wasn't even correct. And he gives illustration after illustration, story after story, and joke after joke, had like two verses in the whole thing. I'm there with my Bible. I got my Greek Bible there because I'm going to get to practice, you know, and I'm all excited because I'm always up here on this end of the whole thing, and I like being on that end of the whole thing. And so I'm all excited, and this guy gives me nothing. At the end of the whole thing, I wanted to throw my Bible at him and say, here, read this. And I didn't, because I'm very polite, but in my heart, that's what God was seeing, you know, and stuff. And the reason that's such a big fat deal to me is because of the way that I got saved. When I got saved, I walk into this church, and this guy picks up a Bible and he starts reading from it, and my attitude is like, oh, here we go. He's going to start talking from the Bible, and it's not going to have anything to do with me, and you know, have this kind of attitude. And he proceeds to go through and talk about everything that I'd done that week. And he was looking at me while he was doing it, you know, and there's like 400 people in the room. He couldn't have known that I was the only new guy, and I wasn't, because 75 people got saved that day. And so there were a bunch of new guys, and I thought that he's reading my mail, and this stuff is going on. And partway through it, I'm sitting there going, what is going on? What is going on? And then finally I realized, you know, this has nothing to do with him. It's like in the Bible. And he just happened to be reading from a passage that was dealing with all my junk. And it just blew me away. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there are going to be times when you're sitting in a Bible study, and again, it's like God's reading your mail and talking to you about specific issues. And sometimes those issues are going to be, look at what you've been doing, look at where you've been, look at how awesome this has been, look at how I've been blessing you. And other times the issues are going to be, hey, this is not how life is supposed to go. And this over here is how life is supposed to go. And either way, it's God speaking to you. And it's really important that the word of God be an active part of your life and your witness to the people who are around you. In this passage, back in 1 Timothy 4, he says, till I come, give attention to reading. That word reading there is not just reading your Bible alone in your office, or reading your Bible alone in your bedroom. It's the public reading of the word. He's talking to a pastor. It's why I go through and read the passage beforehand. It's because it says to in the Bible. I don't just do that as a tradition. It's because it says read it publicly. And there's a reason for that, because I don't think that my Bible studies are always the most awesome thing going. I don't think that every point that I brought up, and you know, all the detail that I put into things are things that God is necessarily going to use in everybody's life. But you know what the Bible is? It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. There have been all kinds of times. I've been reading my Bible since 1975. So there are all kinds of times that I go into a church and the guy gets up and he starts to teach, and he's not teaching me anything new. I'm not going to learn something new here. But if he's been faithful to go through and read the word, there have been plenty of times when God's had a little private conversation with Steve Winery sitting in somebody else's church, as the pastor's going off and talking about something else. And I'll check back in with him, but God's having this thing going on with me as I'm sitting there, because, you know, when I go to church, it's all about me and Jesus and his word and what he has to say to me. And I'm interested. So it's public reading of the word. The next thing that he talks about is exhortation. And then he talks about doctrine. Let me go backwards a little bit. Doctrine is the whole idea of correct teaching. Idea of correct teaching. So anytime that you hear me do a Bible study, I will go through and I'll read it publicly. We'll go through and usually read the whole passage. Then I'll go through and read it again and start picking it apart. and showing you what each word means, you know, depending on the section and that kind of stuff. And that's doctrine. I'm showing you what this means. And then finally, there's exhortation. And exhortation, that's a hard word for many of us in our situation, in our culture. Everything with me is a sports analogy. But after practice in college or high school, we would run wind sprints. And how that would go is you'd line up, it's football, so you'd line up on the goal line, and then you'd run out to, depending on where the coach wanted to do that day, 50-yard line. And so you'd sprint to the 50-yard line. Everybody had to sprint. Anybody that was dogging it, you'd do it again. So you'd sprint out to the 50-yard line, sprint back. If they went, you're dogging it, do it again. And then you go to the 40, then you go to the 30, 20, 10, and then goal line. And there were guys that I don't like to run. And so there were guys that didn't like to run either, and they didn't try. And so what I would do is I would go over and line up next to them because I'm going to encourage them because I don't want to run. And so they'd have a hard time. I'd go, let's go, let's go, let's go. You can do this, you can do this. You know, encouraging them. And if they're being a punk about it, then the encouragement gets a little bit different. You know, it's like, you better go, you know, and that kind of thing. And that's kind of the word exhortation. It's a word that means encouragement, but it can have some teeth to it. It can have a bite to it. And that's just application. That is the elements of a good Bible study. You publicly read the word. You read the whole thing, and then you teach what it has to say. You don't leave it there because that's nothing but a college course on the Bible as literature or something. Then you take it and you apply it to people's lives. And so you'll see that mixed in my Bible studies every time that I do one. You know why I do that? Because it's in the Bible. That's how God says it's supposed to be done. And I don't care about other people's stuff. Public reading the word, that means you have to have a passage you're actually reading from. Some people, it's just nothing but exhortation. Some people, it's nothing but doctrine. And I don't know anybody that it's just the reading of the word. And so what you want is all three of those things. You know, one of the things that people run into all the time, or I run into all the time with people, is when you're talking about doctrinal issues, is how do you know that your position on a passage is actually what the passage teaches? Aren't there, you know, all kinds of interpretations of Scripture? And the answer to that is, number one, short answer is yes, there are all kinds of interpretations of Scripture. And the second part to that answer is because people are lazy and they don't actually go through and look at what the passages have to say. So, for example, let's just use a passage here. When it says, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, what do you think that means? It probably means be an example to the believers in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And you can go through and expound on those things, but what it's just said is what it means. And when it says, till I come, does that mean that Paul's coming? Yeah, at some point Paul's going to be coming, right? And he says, till I come, give attention to reading. And so should I be reading? Give attention to exhortation, give attention to doctrine, right? And it just says what it says. And when you get the whole thing with lots of different interpretations, it's because people aren't allowing the Bible to say what it says. When Jesus says, when people are mean to you, that what you're supposed to do is love them, love your enemies, and pray for those who despitefully use you. Is there any way that I can get from that, hate your enemies, hold grudges against your enemies, and try to get them when they're not looking? No, it kind of means love your enemies, right? And does, when it says pray for those who despitefully use you, does that in any way mean that I need to go around and trash to other people the people who've despitefully used me? Or does it mean pray for them? See what I mean? So the Bible, you know, as you're going through it, for the most part, it just says what it says. And there are some difficult passages every once in a while, but for the vast majority of what Scripture says is just straightforward. The reason that people get into this whole thing, what the Bible can mean anything that you want it to mean, is because there's been this whole issue with allegorical interpretation. Allegorical interpretation is the idea that there's some kind of hidden meaning in each passage of the Bible, and the outward interpretation is not necessarily what the Bible is actually having to say. It was popularized by a guy named Origen. And so when he taught the Bible, he taught that there was what was called a somatic or bodily, it's like a physical application of the Bible, and that's just what the text said. And then there's a psychic interpretation of what the Bible says, and that's the idea that there's kind of a hidden meaning behind it. And then there's the moral aspect of the passage, and then there's the psychic, or excuse me, the spiritual aspect of an interpretation. And that's where you just go off on, in La La Land and just start making up types about everything, or this is a picture of this and this is a picture of that. Had a lady one time came in and said, God told me to divorce my husband. And I said, okay, and I'm giving you short version. It's never like this when I'm counseling, but short version was, okay, did he commit adultery? No. Has he murdered somebody? No. Has he done anything wrong? Well, I don't really like him. And I'm like, well, that's not a reason for divorce. Well, God told me to divorce him. How did God tell you to divorce him? She takes me back to this passage in Kings where there's a good king and there's a bad king, and the good king tried to trick the bad king, and all, and going back and forth, and she's like, my husband is like the bad king and I am like the good king. Right? And so God told me, and what the prophet said was separate from these guys. And I'm like, that is not what that passage is talking about. That has nothing to do with your marriage, lady. And so we had a conversation about that. She didn't appreciate it, and she divorced her husband. And then their family fell apart, and it was awful. And you don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. The Bible says what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, if your husband is a non-believer, then you're not to divorce him. Because how do you know, O woman, whether or not you will save your husband? How do you know, O man, whether or not you'll save your wife? And so, the Bible's clear on certain aspects of that, and so we need to be paying attention to those things. Whenever it gets allegorical, whenever a passage read does not mean what's said when it's read, I am in control of you. If I come to you and say, here, well, it says to give attention to reading, but it doesn't really mean the reading of the Bible. It means this thing over here. And I start doing some teaching on that. Well, how do you know what it means? Unless you're scholarly and you pick up your Greek stuff and you start looking it up and you go, well. And then I come back at you and go, well, you know what? God has revealed to me, and I am the pastor, And so there's this super spiritual meaning behind this whole thing. And I become the guy who is in control of every word of God that's there, and you can't go out and read it on your own. That's where a lot of churches have been at for a long time. And what's supposed to be happening is you're supposed to be able to, when I'm going through the Bible, pick it up, look down at it, then look up at me, check me out, see if I'm saying what it says. Oh, yeah, he is saying what it says. It does say that. Then look at, there it is. That's the way that it's supposed to go, no matter what passage you're in. And if you're outside of that, then what's happened there is somebody has gotten you into a position where they are actually disregarding the Word of God. They're replacing the legitimate meaning of the author's language with whatever they want to come up with, and that the authority in the interpretation of that passage is them and not the Bible. You should always be able to go up to a Bible teacher and say, hey, Steve, you said this, but actually the passage says this.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.